IL Women Podcast, the source of her sport.
Hello, everyone, and thank you for tuning in to Shooting Space. I'm back fresh with a new mic. Back with another awesome guest that I'm really excited to have on the show and excited to have another great conversation. So today we have one of my dear friends and one of my favorite coaches, Sophia Lugo. I'll give a little rundown of Sophia's resume with the highlight that she was one of the coaches for the U19 Puerto Rico women's lacrosse team. And they had an amazing run at the U19 World Cup. Really excited to see what the future holds for them. Sophia, tell the people what's good.
So thank you so much for having me. I am Sophia, as Tari already said, from Chicago, born and raised in Chicago, started playing lacrosse when I was a freshman in high school, and have been playing and coaching ever since. Played club in college at Indiana University, and have really just kind of fell in love with the game as soon as I started playing, and really just became a student of the game and focused on any way I could improve. And then I think that kind of just really catapulted me to kind of where I am today and meeting awesome people, making awesome friends within the sport, and being able to coach on the international level.
For sure. That's awesome. And I feel the connection in starting to play, you know, freshman year of high school. I think there's, you know, sometimes this worry that, oh, if you start playing lacrosse in high school, it's too late. But I think you and I and a bunch of other people that we know, or maybe we don't know, are living testaments to that. You know, you just come to the game when it's your time, and then you make the most of the opportunities that you have. So Sophia is a perfect example of that, and I hope people listening are inspired by her journey. So just to talk a little bit about how we met. So I'm trying to think back to, like, the first clinic. So background, we both are clinicians for the U.S. Lacrosse Sankofa lacrosse series. So we have we host different clinics in different regions for children. I think the ages kind of range, but like ages 6 to 13 or whatever ages, boys and girls, and just have a blast, share the game with them, and get to travel around. So do you remember what our first clinic was together?
No, because it was before we met in Baltimore.
Right.
It wasn't. They all jumbled together.
I know. Was it Detroit?
At this point.
Because it definitely wasn't Manhattan. We were very good friends.
No, it was not Manhattan. That one, we had definitely already known each other. I know. Yeah. It was something last fall.
Okay. It'll come to me. It'll come to me, like, yeah, in the middle of a sentence, and I'll just exclaim and be like, what? But yeah, so, you know, we coached those clinics together, and that's been such a fun thing to do and bring exposure to the game. And we'll talk more about why the clinics are important a little bit down the line, and we talk more about your journey. But I think the coolest part of the story, and I think the coolest part of our connection, is how you got about coaching with the Puerto Rico team. So how did you hear about the opportunity to coach on the team, and how did you go about reaching out to them to show your interest?
Yeah, for sure. So it is kind of one of my favorite stories, especially after getting to know you. But so one day I was just minding my own business and got a G-chat from one of the coaches that I coach with in Chicago. And it was like, it was a screenshot of a tweet. And fun fact, I don't have Twitter, so I had no idea that this existed, whatever. And it was a Puerto Rico lacrosse tweet saying that they were looking for starting a women's program and they wanted coaching suggestions. And the reason why the coach that I know saw it was because Official Lax Girl liked the tweet.
That's
so because
me.
She follows Official Lax Girl, she was able to see that tweet and then shared it with me. I had a mini freak out because I was like, no way in the world does Puerto Rico lacrosse exist. This has just been this dream of mine. So after I calmed down and had like mini panic attack, I essentially just like slapped together a super quick email to the board and said, hey, this is who I am. I would love to get involved in any way I can. Shared a couple stories, and once the founder read it, he might get a little upset if he hears this, but he did tell me that he kind of cried a little bit when he read my email. So that was also kind of a really got my foot in the door. So if it wasn't for Official Lax Girl, I probably wouldn't be here. So yeah.
Wow. Look at that. Social media making an impact once again. The power of the social media. Gotta love it. Gotta love it. It's so funny to, when I hear friends refer to me as Official Lax Girl, because I'm like, oh, who's that? And I'm like, oh, yeah, that's me. Okay.
She sounds cool.
Right. I'm like, oh, this girl is really connected in the lacrosse world. She stayed tweeting. And for those that may not know your background, so your family is Puerto Rican and you were born in Chicago, right?
Correct. Yeah. Okay. So both my parents were born in Puerto Rico. My mom came to Chicago when she was 3 months old, and then my dad spent a lot of his childhood in Puerto Rico and came to Chicago when he was 10. So still have a bunch of family and stuff in Puerto Rico to this day.
That's awesome. That's awesome. And yeah, so, you know, fast forward, they see your email, they, you know, get emotional, because obviously it's a great monumental thing to have, especially I think just again the power of social media. Like, someone stumbled upon something, you know, retweeted it, they shared it with you, and now you've gotten this opportunity. So what were those preliminary steps like when, you know, you got in touch with them, you talked about coaching? What were kind of the next steps? How did you know you wanted to coach U19s? Did you want to play on the women's team? Like, what level of involvement did you want, and how did that match up to kind of what you're doing now?
Yeah, so I think once the whirlwind of like excitement and pure joy kind of not wore off, because I still kind of have that with all of the things that I am doing, it was more of a matter of I want to get involved in any way possible. So that started, you know, we had several interviews with different board members, things like that. And then the way that I started, I was actually on the Women's Development Committee, because they were essentially trying to figure out what they were going to do, how they were going to figure all of this stuff out. And they had already had a men's program established for a little while, and were planning, I believe, so that was 2017, fall of 2017. So they were planning on getting a men's team together to send them to Israel for the Men's World Cup. So that was kind of already rolling, and they were trying to do the same thing for the women's, and U19 was the next upcoming world championship. So that's kind of what we were starting to do. So we started with the Women's Development Committee, and we were essentially in charge of figuring out events. So we called them assessments in order to get a player pool, because at this point we had people that wanted to help. We just needed people to coach and actually represent the team. Right. I am self-aware enough to know, and also old enough to know, that playing was probably not really what was in the cards for me. So kind of focusing on coaching, and U19 is definitely an age that I'm extremely comfortable with, with all of my coaching experience, kind of at the youth and the high school level. So that's kind of where I saw myself fitting in the best. And then I also have a lot of lacrosse administrative experience with previous jobs and things like that as well. So that part of it kind of also was pretty exciting for me as well. So yeah, that's how it started. It was the development committee, and then they officially wanted to start looking for coaches. So then they kind of switched gears and I guess interviewed me in a sense for the coaching position as well. So yeah.
Nice. Nice. Wow. You were there from the beginning. From the first little seed, that's so cool. I love seeing the progression, and I think being able to see firsthand the work that you and Natalie, the other coach of your team, and your whole committee and everyone that you worked with put in has really inspired me to see, you know, how can I, like, can I bring a Zimbabwe team to the next world championships? Mm-hmm. Like, what can I do to get involved? And I'm sure other people are inspired too. I remember, so when we were at the Urban Lacrosse Alliance conference, and, you know, I attended the session, which I love, by the way, so proud, and I felt like a proud mom taking literally 200 pictures of you. But when they played the video when y'all went down after the hurricane, U.S. Lacrosse, for a Sankofa clinic, I could feel myself getting emotional, because I felt the love and just the care that went into planning that event and went into going into the communities and all of that. So I just want to commend you, and I hope that you and whoever's listening from your program knows, like, we can feel the love that y'all have. And I felt that love when I was watching, you know, I'd be in the office and have my screen half and half. Half of it was watching your games and the other was me doing my work and had my headphones on and just hearing on the sideline, the parents and the, you know, the players on their sidelines and all the love that was coming from the Puerto Rico lacrosse family. I just loved it. I bathed in the love. I felt it.
Yeah, for sure. And I think there's a reason why passion is in our like, tagline motto. Because us as people, as a culture, it's a very cultural thing to be very, very passionate. And that has kind of carried over. And I think a lot of people were able to see it, especially at the World Championships. We had family and friends from all over the country. We had aunts and uncles come in from Puerto Rico to Canada to see their nieces play. Mm-hmm. We had a live band at every yes. single game. I think we're kind of started getting around and towards our later games, the other fan sections started bringing their A game as well. So it was a really nice like competition between cheering sections to see. And then just going to Puerto Rico was an amazing experience in general. A lot of us had not been back since the hurricane and being able to go back and for something that was really, really positive, that was bringing joy to these kids was something that I'm not even exactly sure I can fully describe it, but it was really awesome to have US Lacrosse's support. And when I essentially, we were trying to figure out what to do, and we had already worked with Sankofa on a clinic previously. We partnered with them in Fort Lauderdale. So, and then myself and Natalie are both Sankofa clinicians. So, you know, we know Ebony very well. And I think I kind of just like randomly pitched the idea of like, hey, or I think she had been talking about potentially wanting to go to Puerto Rico. And I was like, okay, well, let's pair it with a U19 training camp. Mm-hmm. Because the real mission of Puerto Rico lacrosse is not to win a gold medal in the World Championships. It is to bring the sport that has brought so much joy and enrichment to our lives to the kids in Puerto Rico. Mm-hmm. So making sure that we really stress that mission with this U19 team, I think, was extremely important for us. Because it's something that we as an organization and us as coaches really support and are 100% behind. And I think once we got all of those girls into, you know, to Puerto Rico, all of their families were there to see it as well. It all made sense. And it's like, this is the reason why we play.
Absolutely.
And it was just this constant reminder that I think really allowed the girls to elevate their game on the field. And when times got tough and we got frustrated with certain things, we were able to say, it's not about me. It's about those little girls that when we told them that they could play on the national team and travel the world, the way their eyes lit up. Mm-hmm. And all of the autographs that all of the girls signed after we finished the clinic and things like that. So I think being able to really bring it full circle and really hone in on what the mission of our organization is with the team was one of the many reasons why we have had such success.
Mm-hmm. Definitely. And I think that's important too, perspective. You know, I'm kind of going through that now with, you know, working in a corporate job and being corporate America, and like after a year evaluating my progress and all the things I've done. And I think sometimes it's hard to, sometimes I lose perspective where I'm like, no, like I've done all these things, but I really need to do all these other things. And like, that's not important. Like I need to do these things and blow out these metrics and et cetera. But it's like, wow, like I'm so blessed to have all these opportunities that I've had thus far. Mm-hmm. And like, I'm blessed to have this job and work with people I really enjoy being around. And so I think that's a great reminder for us to like, just know that what we're doing is bigger than maybe the medals or maybe the winning. And sometimes there's like more representation and more that we're doing behind the scenes than what even we see. And I'm sure that's the perspective that the cheering section, the band brought for y'all was like, oh, like we have a whole squad, right? Like we're repping everybody on the island and we've gotten to have some of our loved ones with us here to cheer us on. So, and I'll see if I can find a way to, you know, share that video again, because I think people need to see that. Like that was just, that was a touching 6 minutes. The whole time I was like, oh my gosh. The one that made me cry.
Yeah, my favorite was when the little kid, he got his t-shirt and he was super excited, and then he got the stick and he yelled even more. I was like, this is perfect. Like, this is exactly why, like, that little, like, 30-second clip was exactly why we went to Puerto Rico.
Absolutely.
And it was perfect.
Absolutely. Yeah, I gotta find a way to get myself on that next trip, because I need to see it all in person. But, yeah, so shifting a little bit to talk more about the U19 and your U19 team and your involvement. So, you know, again, started from the beginning, got all the way to being selected to be a coach, you know. So how did you prepare for the World Championship? Like, I'm curious what a coach's preparation is compared to what the player's preparation is. What were some of your reservations? And maybe talk a little bit about how y'all were, what's the correct dialogue? It's like slipping in my mind, not introductory members, but like,
Associate members.
There we go. Thank you. I wanted to make sure. Talk a little bit about that.
So, I mean, I think there was just so much going on. And so while Natalie and I are both officially on the coaching staff, we were and still are part of the Women's Development Committee.
Mm-hmm.
So there was also a lot of just like behind the scenes administrative work, making sure we have uniforms, making sure that we have we understand travel arrangements and all of those like logistical things. And then also making sure we had players. So we had three total assessments. And then our official tryout was when we all went to Puerto Rico.
Mm-hmm.
So we invited 25 girls down to Puerto Rico. We actually may have invited a few more than 25, 22 to 25 numbers are escaping me right now, but made the trip down mm-hmm. to Puerto Rico. To have a clinic, and then we also had 2 days of training, some cultural activities and all that stuff. So that was kind of the first time that they had really kind of played all together, because mm-hmm. of the three assessments, some people were at all three, some were just at one, some were at two, you know, so all of that core group hadn't all played together before. So that was kind of the first real time that we got to see all of them in the same space. And then we had another training camp in New Jersey about a month after that. And Natalie, head coach, is from New Jersey, had the crazy idea of everyone, let's all just stay in my apartment. We looked at her like she had 7 heads, but it was actually probably one of the highlights of the entire experience, not only for me, but for the girls as well. It's kind of what they've come back with and saying is that's when they really were able to bond as a team. Having 22 people in a 2-bedroom, 2-bath, duplex apartment, was definitely an adventure. There was lots of air mattresses and they got to know each other really well, mm-hmm. over that weekend. So I think Natalie kind of really honed in on kind of the X's and O's type things. Obviously my input was used and needed and along the way. And then I was kind of helping a lot with the rest of the committee in terms of like putting together a lot of the logistical aspects of it and things like that. So nice. There were so many moving parts, but it's difficult. So I'm in Chicago, head coach Natalie is in New Jersey, and then our girls are scattered across the country.
Right.
So
you got them all in Puerto Rico though.
Yeah, lots of group chats.
And together. Yeah.
Conference calls, one-on-one conversations with people as they, you know, as questions and things arose, but we just kind of had to do it, and we did it.
That's awesome. Yeah, those logistics, man. Coaches have that down. I feel like that's the next, like, I'm in my, like, introductory, you know, becoming a powerful coach, learning from all these other powerful coaches. But the real final coach boss is the logistical coach. When there is a binder and there's information for every player and their parents and travel itinerary and you get them all from one place to the next, like, that's really the ultimate level. So I commend y'all. So, you know, getting to the World Championships, this is y'all's first one. Like, what were the vibes the first day? By the way, y'all all looked wonderful at the opening ceremonies, loved the dresses, loved seeing all the photos. What was like that like? Like, what was that moment? How did that feel finally getting there after all the hard work that you put in?
Yeah, so it was a bit surreal. So we all land in Toronto on, I don't know, Tuesday, whatever, let's say. We once everyone gets in, once we all find each other at the airport, we hop on a shuttle bus, get to Peterborough. They essentially have to check into their dorm rooms, find food really quickly, and then change. And then we had a scrimmage right away. So we were kind of a little bit frazzled. It had been a long day already. A lot of people had really early flights so that we could all meet in Toronto by noon. So it was very interesting. It was really, they got kind of their jitters out in that first scrimmage. I think that was kind of a little bit helpful. Mm-hmm. Then we were able to practice and then opening ceremonies. And then, so just a little bit of a background story on, so what those dresses really were.
Yes.
Not only were they just really cute dresses, they were actually a kind of homage to a cultural event that we had when we were in Puerto Rico. So there is a traditional dance of Puerto Rico that kind of takes Caribbean and African beats and rhythms from the Taino Indians that are the native of Puerto Rico, and then also the Africans that came through Puerto Rico as well. So we took a workshop with to learn the history of bomba and also some steps to be able to dance bomba as well. And those dresses resemble traditional bomba dresses. So it was kind of a crazy idea that I had. So, you know, some people, when I brought up the idea, looked at me like I had seven heads. But I think overall, the impact that we wanted was there. It was, it was a little bit surreal when we were coming down from the dorm and waiting. All the other countries that were staying in our area were all waiting for the buses because we all rode the buses together to the other campus for opening ceremonies. The looks that we were getting and the compliments, and everyone was so impressed. And I think it just really, it made the girls have this additional layer of like extra confidence. I think that everyone was like, whoa, who are they? Like, look at them. That's great. And then also us knowing why it is that we're wearing it. So we're, you know, we're paying tribute to our culture and where we come from and our roots. So I think that that was, that added an extra level of flair, if you will.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely.
So yeah, so I think that was something that kind of really helped. And then I think it was essentially smooth sailing. It was, there were a lot of nerves. We had zero idea what to expect. These girls had also never played an official game together. In our New Jersey clinic, or New Jersey training camp, sorry, we had a scrimmage of a team that we kind of got together of people in the New Jersey area. We had officials and things like that. So that was obviously extremely helpful. And then we had the scrimmage the first day we got there, but our first game was the first time that our girls played an official game together. So I'd say we did pretty well. And I think after we scored that first and second goal, everyone kind of took a sigh of relief and we're like, all right, we're here. Now let's ball out.
Absolutely. Wow. And I mean, y'all crushed it. For those that do not know, the ladies had an 8-0 record. Okay. 8-0. Crushing it. They crushed it. And that's just, I couldn't wait to say that. I couldn't wait to say that. Y'all already know. I was just like holding on to it because I really wanted to say it. But I, so, right. So I'm a fan. So I'm gonna say it, right. Cause I can. I think personally that if an associate member basically like really comes in and just does their thing, they should have a shot at a medal. Like who can I email? Someone, anyone, please tweet me and let me know who I can email on behalf of all these, you know, amazing young women who just did the thing. Like, y'all have an honorary medal. I know they say no participation trophies, but this one's earned, so we'll allow this one.
That's definitely the interesting part of, you know, everyone I'm talking to, because I had people that had never watched a game of lacrosse before watching every single one of our games. They were excited. They wanted to support me. And then once they started watching us play, they're like, wow, this is actually really interesting. So, but they're like, can you please explain to me what happened? Or when I come back, you're like, oh, how did it go? I'm like, oh, it was great. We were undefeated. They're like, oh, so wait, how did you finish ninth?
Right.
So it's a fun little explanation. So as associate members, so we are associate members because we have only, Puerto Rico Lacrosse was founded in 2015. Mm-hmm. We sent our first national team to World Championships in, you know, last year to Israel.
Right.
And the men also did a phenomenal job there as well.
Mm-hmm.
There was a similar rule in place last year that the World Lacrosse Board essentially suspended so that the men could continue on playing. Then after that, kind of things were adjusted because we were still associate members, even though they finished the tournament within the top eight to go into the blue pool to get an automatic bid for the next World Championships. We weren't allowed that kind of route. So there were still, we didn't necessarily finish in the place that we finished once the world rankings came out on the men's side. Since then, World Lacrosse then expanded upon that rule to make it a little bit more explicit about what associate members can and cannot do. Mm-hmm. So we still fall in that because we hadn't attended the appropriate number of events. Okay. So there's you have to attend world championship events and then also a general assembly where all the organizations of World Lacrosse come together and they discuss rules and changes and upcoming things and all of that stuff. So there hadn't been one of those for us to attend until U19 World Championships ended. So we did send a representative. So we now have all of those requirements to now apply to become full members. So this will not be, as long as we are approved to become full members, this won't be an issue moving forward. So we'll be able to, fully play and place in whatever appropriate ranking we earn based on our record. So it was a little bit of a trying time and a little bit of confusion for a lot of people because everyone was like, wait, you guys beat New Zealand. Why are you playing this team instead of that team?
Right.
So it was okay. It was, at the end of the day, what we just had to remind our players and our families was, we're here to play, but we're also here to provide, to be role models for those girls in Puerto Rico that are picking up their stick, that are, going outside to play this game because they're seeing your daughters on TV. Because we did also get messages from the director of the sports camp that he was watching every game. And, the girls were watching, the kids, boys and girls were watching it. And he said it too. And he, showed his support. He said, it doesn't seem necessarily fair. Just know that there are people watching you and they're cheering for you no matter what. So that was really the biggest thing, I think, to take away from it all was that we were playing for our island. We were playing for each other. And that's what they did. And they were able to, and I think that was kind of what impressed me the most, is that even though we were frustrated, even though the girls were upset, the team was upset, parents were upset, we were upset, that we weren't able to get approved to continue playing on. Being able to watch those girls play in that next game and just continue to do what they had been doing from the beginning was truly inspiring for me. And then to continue to do it, the remaining two or three games that we had after that as well. So, So U19 boys next summer in Ireland, we'll hopefully have no restrictions. And then we'll be talking about, you'll talk to that coach next summer.
Absolutely.
How they, finished in, how they won the gold medal,
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. And again, I think that speaks volumes to your, obviously, maturity, but I think that's a perfect example to set for your players. And I commend the coaching staff of saying, again, we know these rules, we're going to, abide by them, but we're going to come here and play as hard as possible to show that when it's time to go, it's time to go, we'll be ready, whatever y'all need to see from us, we're ready to show that level of sportsmanship and that level of competition. So I'm excited, I'm pumped to see obviously the boys next summer and the women's team as well beyond, and I just I think it's exciting stuff. So I mean, what are you looking forward to? What's next for you? Because I know you're busy. I just saw you posted on your Insta story about all the flights. You are busy. So I know y'all got some stuff coming up.
So it seems to never stop with my travels. So I still live in Chicago, but sometimes I forget that I actually live here with all the traveling I'm doing with Sankofa Clinics, coaching Puerto Rico, and then my own personal family. I have four family weddings all across the country. So that adds another little fun flair to my fall. But so we actually, this upcoming Saturday, we are playing Puerto Rico Lacrosse is essentially switching gears basically immediately to mm-hmm. our senior women's team. So our next major event is the Pan American Lacrosse Association mm-hmm. is having a women's qualifier for the 2021 mm-hmm. games. So in November, the members of the Pan American Lacrosse Association are coming together in Florida at their headquarters for like a 4-day tournament, basically, mm-hmm. To qualify for the Women's World Championships that are in 2021. Wow. So full list of teams, I'm not exactly positive. I know, so U.S. and Canada are both in PALA, but they have automatic bids mm-hmm. To the 2021 World Championships, so okay. they will not be in attendance. So I know we will be there, obviously, and then like Argentina, Jamaica,
wow.
Colombia, I believe, is also sending a team, Mexico, I believe. So essentially the Americas and mm-hmm. the Caribbean. Cool. So teams will be going to Florida to compete again. And so we basically are just trying to build our pool again of players because we have strong pool of U19s. Some of those girls, well, technically they all qualify to be on the senior women's team. Mm-hmm. But, you know, just ages. And then there are also, as a result of our success, we've gotten a lot more interest in
right.
women that are of Puerto Rican descent that qualify to be on the team as well. So we want to give more people the opportunity to hopefully represent us. So we are having an event. We're playing in the City Lacs Southampton shootout that Ooh. Is on Saturday in Southampton on Long Island. Ooh. So I will be out there this weekend.
Also, you gonna be tossing the ball around? We're gonna see you on the field.
Well, there is a rumor that both Natalie and myself may make an appearance on the field on Saturday, but I cannot confirm or deny.
You heard it here first, folks. Heard it here first. Groundbreaking news right here on Shooting Space. This is what I wanted. So, this was my vision for the podcast.
We may end up seeing the field. We may not, but we also do need to make sure that we're also evaluating the new players that we're right. seeing, because we are going to, from there, kind of build our pool to who we're going to take to the PALA qualifier.
Mm-hmm.
And I can guarantee you this, I will not be playing on that team in the PALA qualifier.
So she says,
so
I think we'll see her on the field. I think we'll see her out there.
So yeah, so that's what I've got coming up next. And then in November, we'll be going down to Florida for that, and then I think after that is when we'll really start building our senior women's team in 2020, so that we have a full year and hopefully can get, you know, bigger pool, you know, a larger group
right.
to start from, and then build our final roster, which will also be interesting. 2021 World Championships may also be under, I'm pretty sure, going to be under the new rules, so smaller rosters, different rules,
right,
figuring all of that other stuff out. So
for sure. Wow. Well, I'm excited. Again, I'm excited to follow along with the journey, and I'm just, you know, curious, like, what's been the most effective way that y'all have found to recruit players, especially kind of being a new, like, / up-and-coming program, and then now maybe being more established? What are your tactics to attract attention for players?
Tactics to finding players. We have I've been really fortunate that we've had a lot of players coming directly to us, and then from there, our own network is kind of helping with doing their own recruitment, looking at rosters and whatnot. We are also kind of, our now goal is to actively start reaching out to club teams, college coaches, and everything in between to continue to build that roster pool. Because the goal is to not just, you know, forget about these U19
right.
girls that we have, because we do have girls that are that just turned 15, so that they will also be age eligible to compete in the next U19 World Championships. So making sure that we're keeping them engaged while also building our player pool, because there are a lot of other things that we want to do outside of World Championships and other tournaments and things like that, and trips down to Puerto Rico to continue teaching and coaching clinics and things. So, you know, I, again, don't personally have Twitter, but the organization does a really great job on Twitter and Instagram and Facebook of doing a lot of marketing. So if you know anyone that has a couple Twitter followers, making sure that you're sharing all of our tweets, liking our tweets, yes. Sharing all of our posts and things.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'll definitely hit y'all with that retweet. You know, gotta support the fam, make sure all those opportunities are shared. And I think that's the most important thing that we can all really do with our social media, is just like, it doesn't matter how big or small your following is. If you see an opportunity that you think someone might be interested in, a simple retweet or just, you know, sharing it out, mm-hmm. sending it out to them, you never know what amazing, like, life-changing thing might happen for them, yeah. just based off of you, like, hitting them up and saying, hey, like, I saw this random thing that maybe you'd be interested in. I don't know anything about it, but you might be down to do it. So I think that's a big thing. And man, it's just wild to think, like, it's happening. We're getting more and more nations involved, and it's mm-hmm. so beautiful. You know, I'm sure you got to interact or at least play against the Kenya lacrosse team, and I just yep. I loved seeing, you know, I saw that their clip with the Israel lacrosse team when they surprised Kenya with cleats before, or was it after the game, is making its rounds, and it was on, you know, Israel national TV. Like, yeah, that's amazing.
ESPN even picked up the clip too.
Crazy stuff.
Yeah, the Kenya team was amazing. I think they actually, because we were staying essentially in dorm buildings across from each other, our girls were able to bond a lot. A lot of our parents were going to the Kenya games when we weren't playing. And I think the Kenyan team came to our last game, and they wanted flags. They were carrying our flag, and they were kind of the captains that were cheering section for that last game. So, you know, there was definitely a Puerto Rico-Kenya bond that was awesome. I think they came over one night, and the girls had a sing-along and dance-off, and it was just an awesome thing that I think really helped both teams really get even more perspective on why it is that we're doing this and how much bigger it really is and the opportunity that they really have. So,
yeah.
And, you know, we were able to connect with everybody, just being able to walk around campus and see people from literally all over the world. And being able, you know, Ireland was on the floor below us. They were coming up and down doing scavenger hunts and things like that. And they taught our girls how to Irish dance as part of that. And they were exchanging apparel and things like that. And, you know, social media, everyone's following each other on Instagram and, right. and whatnot now too. So it really kind of has broadened all of their lacrosse worlds as well, really to expand across the world. So that's super yeah. exciting. It was really exciting to see them be able to connect on that level with other teams.
Yeah, for sure. I've loved seeing it all unfold on social media, and, you know, players and coaches and parents that I follow, just seeing the excitement that, you know, everyone's going through as the game continues to evolve. I think that it's headed in such a good direction. And this is a question I ask everyone is, you know, looking both in within the U.S. but also the international rules, like, what are some positive changes that you've seen within the rule changes for women's lacrosse? And then what are some that you want to see?
Yeah. So I think we've obviously got a huge change coming
yes.
With these, like, Olympic rules and whatnot. I'm still not exactly sure how I feel about them. I think the unfortunate part is that it is going to reduce roster sizes. Mm-hmm. So it limits the number of people that now have the opportunity to play internationally, which I think is again unfortunate because of the experience that our girls, and we also had our alternates come out to Canada to fully have that same experience because we felt that it was important. So limiting those rosters because you have less players on the field, I think is probably the one thing that I'm going to for sure say I'm not the biggest fan of. And then in terms of play, it's going to be interesting. I think it's going to yes, make it a little bit more exciting, but I think as I'm also a defensive player, I think that the best plays are defensive plays and defensive stops and goalie saves and all of that. But this kind of eliminates, or not eliminates it, but it makes it not the focus. So, you know, defense isn't necessarily the biggest issue, or, you know, the biggest component of a game. It's really about who can score the most goals, right. Which technically at the end of the day is the goal of the game. But the emphasis is now even more so on the offense and just really scoring all the points. So as a defensive player, I feel slightly slighted, but it's okay. I think it is also necessary for the sport to grow, and I can understand that. And I think making it easier for people to understand will get more people to want to play, which I think is really what we all want, is for more people to play. I think, you know, I picked up a stick when I was 14 and haven't put a stick down since. Mm-hmm. And I think a lot of people are the same way. So it's a matter of, if we make it more accessible, if we make it more easy to understand with less rules, in a sense, I think it will kind of take off on its own.
Right. Yeah.
So, yeah, and I think with, you know, free movement and all of that kind of trickling down also to the high school level coming soon will be interesting with how that is kind of taken and implemented. Mm-hmm. But I think in the end, it's trying to make the game make more sense to someone that has never seen it before.
Right.
So I think that's exciting, is making it easier for people to understand. Because I think, you know, when I was growing up, my parents, one, had zero idea what lacrosse was to mm-hmm. begin with. But then, you know, that was also like pre-boundaries and goggles, I think, were brand new, all of that fun stuff. So a lot of people didn't understand why we were playing freeze tag, right? So right. that, I think, helps and keeps the game moving and keeps people actively interested. So
yeah,
it's really all about growing the game and have to try new things, I suppose.
And I think the point you made, I think the most important part of this whole thing, right, is we want to make the game more accessible, and maybe with less rules, like, it just is easier to understand, easier to adapt to different places for people, you know, that maybe aren't starting to play in first grade or in kindergarten or in third grader, etc. I think that was something that it took me a little while to understand. You know, at first I would just be a staunch supporter of, no, like, that's not real, quote unquote, real lacrosse. Like, what is real lacrosse? We're not even playing real lacrosse. I'm sure there are people that are like, back in my day, we wore ankle length skirts, okay, and we didn't have boundaries. And you girls these days, like, you know, like, with your goggles and your rules and your plastic sticks, like, I think that that's something that sometimes we miss. And I'll admit mm-hmm. that, like, I'm going through the epiphany of being able to admit that I'm wrong, right? That's part of growing up. But I'll admit that sometimes I'm so focused on my experience and how I want to play and what I want to see in that. And it's important to remember, like, if we want the game to grow, we want to diversify the playing pool and diversify the teams that have these opportunities to go play in championships and win medals and things like that, we do need a sense of similarity and a sense mm-hmm. of adaptation that's easier. And I don't think that even means that it makes the game easier. Lacrosse is going to be kind of hard no matter what, right? You're going to need both your hands to play. Like, not both your hands, but, like, you're going to need to be able to catch and throw with both hands. You're going to need to be able to move well and to cut and do all these things. So I hope that as these new rules come out, people will realize that, like, we're not necessarily watering down the game. We're just making it a little bit easier to adapt. But there's still that degree of difficulty that just is natural.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And I think that's what makes lacrosse so interesting to begin with, is, you know, they're playing with these, you know, someone that's never seen it, they're playing with these weird sticks and they're running all fast and they're catching, throwing, dodging and doing all these similar movements that you see in other sports. Mm-hmm. But there's this extra component of, you know, this stick that's in the air and it's not like hockey and it's not like this and it's not like soccer,
right?
Which I think is what intrigues people the most. And mm-hmm. I think sometimes when there's all of these, like, rules that don't make sense and whatever, it kind of deters people or just right. gets too confusing.
Absolutely.
or, you know, it intrigues people and they're like, okay, so wait, now I want to understand this. So obviously you're going to still have people that aren't interested and they're just not meant to be lacrosse players, and that's fine.
Yeah, we don't need them.
But I think the sport is trying to do what they think is right to grow the game. And I mean, if that means that we have to change it so that it gets to the Olympics, it's a matter of what are we sacrificing or what's the most important, right? But again, what is true lacrosse? What is the truest form of it? And are we playing that now and whatever? And I'm, you know, I will always want to, I'm a very strong supporter of playing in kilts, or not really kilts, but skirts still. That's something that I don't know if I will change. And a lot of my high school girls are like, can we wear, get shorts? I said, no.
I am team short. I am team short.
And that's kind of like a silly rule or tradition that I don't necessarily want to let go of. Whatever. But it is what it is, right? We all have to evolve with the times.
See, I knew. I was like, I know there's someone out there that's like these girls and all their shorts and they're changing up all the rules, but we'll allow the kind of the nostalgia to hold on. But yeah, I'm just excited to see the future of the game. I feel like every single conversation I have is like, well, like, what's next? Like, what are you looking forward to? But I do think right now the camaraderie and the love and the passion for the sport and the passion for our community that's going on in the community is just the best. Like, I wish I could bottle this up and just keep it forever and be like, ooh, like in 2019, everyone just loved lacrosse so much. And like, will they love it more next year? Who knows? But this is the best. Like, you know, just kind of hold on to that. So yeah, it's just, we're in such a good sport and in such a good spot to be part of this game. And I'm thankful that I've gotten to meet you and become friends with you. I think we have lots of adventures and we have many more adventures to come, both in our personal lives and in our coaching lives, and getting to kind of share, right, like secrets of the trade. As I become more serious about my coaching career, I know that I can turn to you and ask you questions and get advice from you that is just effective and like will actually be catered to me and as someone who understands kind of my thought process and what kind of coach I want to be. So thank you for being a role model for me and for the young women on your team, the young women that you're going to interact with and the families. And I'm sure everyone will agree that you set an amazing tone, and I can't wait to see what you do next.
Thank you. I really appreciate it. And I think it is blows my mind what this game has provided to me over the years that I've been involved in it. And even in the last 2 years, I don't even think it's been two full years since I've been involved with Puerto Rico lacrosse. But because of my involvement with Puerto Rico lacrosse, I've been able to get super involved with U.S. lacrosse, with Sankofa, and then speaking at the Urban Lacrosse Alliance conference was something I like never would have thought I would be able to do, or you know, whatever. And being able to travel, I can say travel the world now because I've gone international. It's just Canada, but it is still not in the United States.
If that passport was stamped, if the passport was stamped, you good.
Yeah, they actually didn't stamp my passport, but that's a whole other issue. Yeah, I know.
you just have to make your own stamp.
Yeah, I know. I'm going to just get like a maple leaf sticker or something and put it in my passport. Yep,
there you go.
But yeah, it's amazing. And I think what is the most exciting is that women in general are just speaking up for each other and standing up for each other to be those role models and opening those doors to really help the next generation come through and help our generation reach those new levels and new goals and really changing the face and, quite frankly, the complexion of the game, which I think is drastically needed. And just being able to look on the field, you know, look at my roster for the Puerto Rico team and see how different they are, but then what brings them all together and how they are able to have this extra level of confidence because they felt so comfortable, because there was this common culture between them and this common bond. That's something that I've never experience as a coach, and it was extremely inspiring to me to really kind of continue to advocate for them and other, you know, lacrosse players of color in, you know, down the line. It's extremely important.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, I think that our strong, fearless female leaders are emerging more and more each day, and especially in terms of women of color too. Like I think that that's important. Like we don't, at least within our sport, like we have them, but I think amplifying those voices, and that's something that mm-hmm. I want to do, especially with this podcast and my social media, is like amplify the voices that I haven't necessarily gotten to see, or that I've seen, but maybe other women around the world or other, you know, women anywhere haven't really had a chance to see. So, yeah, you know, just keep doing what you're doing, and I hope your players are listening to, and I hope they know that, you know, they're also setting such an amazing standard and such an amazing example for young women that are watching them. You mentioned you can see that in the video, even like the way that the young players are listening so attentively to what they're saying, and they're looking at their motions, and they're seeing how they play. This platform of the internet, right, that we have, has given us a really great opportunity to highlight more voices that need to be highlighted, and I'm proud to be part of that, and I hope to continue doing that. So yeah, it's all good things.
Absolutely. Hopefully some more trips to Manhattan are in our future.
Yes. For those that don't know, we had a clinic at Columbia and it was wonderful. We taught so many great things and learned about price inflation in New York. That was a very important lesson for us city girls. It's like we came from two of arguably like some pretty big cities from other parts of the U.S. into New York, and we're shocked about, you know, sticker shock of prices of beverages. But yeah, that's the fun part, right? We travel, we learn about different things, we get to teach the game, and we come back with stories to tell. So, can't complain.
Absolutely. Can't complain.
Well, Sophia, thank you again for joining me on today's episode. For those that missed out on, we didn't record all. I guess I recorded some of our technical difficulties trying to make sure that the new mic worked. I apologize if I'm yelling at anyone. I already have so much animation in my voice, and I think that this mic has really amplified the happiness and joy that I get from talking on my podcast. So I hope that everyone's ears survived, or maybe they turned down the volume a little bit so that y'all are safe. But thank you all for listening, and I'll see you next time.
IL Women Podcast, the source of her sport.